Good morning, Emmanuel. Good to be here preaching this morning and continuing on with our volunteer series. It's really exciting because it's awesome to think that, in general, that our church is inspired and excited to be able to actually do something. And what I mean by that is being volunteers, being able to do what God has called us to do. And that's not just to come to church and sit down and just enjoy the message and just move on with our day. We're inspired to actually get up, be active, and do ministry, do what God has called to do. And when it comes to being volunteers, I would say it's a blessing not only being a part of a church that actually encourages volunteering, but we're up, we're doing it, we're reaching out, we're playing our part in the body of Christ and what God has called us to. So we've been hitting all just the different types of ways we can volunteer. We've talked about promoting, we've talked about planning, we've talked about preparing. And now today we're going to be talking about participating, or as I would say, participators. And it's funny because I know it's kind of late, but we could have almost called this series the P's of volunteering, because like almost every word we've used so far is being with a P, so I thought that was pretty funny. So when it comes to participating and participators, I want to kind of just distinguish right away before we dive into the message and what difference between those two. Because it's easy to be a participator, participating. Because any time anybody that comes into our church or we have an event that we're hosting, most of the time the people that are here that we're serving, that's people participating in the event. And we, as people called to be used by God to serve, we're the participators. We're the ones actually serving. We're the ones giving back. We're the ones actually, like I said, serving those people and doing what God has called us to do. You know, it's funny because when I think about us being participators, it kind of makes me think back to there was a time where one of my old churches, there was an event they used to host, and it was a woman's only event. And this event was mainly for widows, and it was for single moms and just women that obviously, you know, they deserved love, deserved care, that worked hard. And it was an awesome event. And one of the things, they asked all the men to volunteer and come and help out these women. So they were the ones participating, and the men were the participators, the ones serving. And so, you know, they said, men, just come in, do what you have to do. And so I want to just ask one question. Isn't it kind of funny sometimes as people as the participators, sometimes we go in to serve, or like we go somewhere, an event to serve, and sometimes we have no idea what we're doing. We just sign up, and they're like, hey, just come in, just do what you have to do. So I go to this event, you know, I'm going as one of the men trying to be a big, strong, you know, manly man. I'm here to serve some women. So I go in and I have no idea what I'm doing. So they say, all right, you're going to be out there like pretty much directing or parking and stuff. So I'm like, all right. So I'm out there in the parking crew directing. But then they're like, oh, wait, we need some chauffeurs. We need some people to drive and park the woman's car. And they were like, who wants to do that? And I was like, me? I want to drive some cars. And when I tell you, it's funny because I drove everything from new Ford Mustangs all the way back to broken down Chevys and Cadillacs. I mean, cars I didn't even know was still able to move around. I mean, these things were like, I mean, some of those cars, Lord have mercy, I swear I thought I wouldn't be able to make it to the parking spot. So it's kind of funny how just when you're being a participator, sometimes, you know, you never know what God calls you to. You never know what you're going to end up doing. And I said this story just to basically say, you know, like I said, sometimes when you're called to serve and when you're called to do what God has called you to do, it gets hard sometimes because of the fact that we don't always know where we're supposed to be. We don't always know where we're supposed to be participating in or what we're supposed to be doing. And I think that's the case for a lot of people in church. When they walk into a church, when they walk into an event or anything that the church is hosting, they come in, they sit down, and they're wondering, where am I? Where should I be? What should I be doing? Where, you know, where are my skills useful? You know, so today I want to talk about exactly what it means to be a participator, what it means to be the person that volunteers to do what God has called us to do. And I think we're going to hit on that. And I think we're going to go in one particular place in the Bible that a lot of people wouldn't think where we're going to focus on this morning. And I think it's really interesting because we're going to be talking about how Jesus feeds the 5,000. And we're going to be in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And this is a funny story because this is obviously the story where Jesus feeds a crowd of over 5,000 people. And you're probably asking, okay, what does that have to do with participating or being a participator? And I think we overlook the participators in this story. It's easy to see the miracle, and the miracle is great, and it's amazing what Jesus did, and Jesus showed his power and just how wonderful he is in this moment. But I think we sometimes miss the people participating in it and the participators that served that day. And that's what I want to kind of focus on in this story. So like I said, we're going to be in John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. I'll go ahead and read for us. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he was performing by healing the sick. And Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." I love it, verse 7, because Philip's just like, Jesus, we broke. Like, you want us to provide for other people? We broke. So in verse 8, another of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far would they go among so many?" Jesus have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So it's just awesome reading this story because, like I said, I want to focus less on just the miracle this time and more on the people that, the participators in this story. And obviously the participators in this story is disciples. Disciples were the one that Jesus was given the action call to, look, I need you to serve these people. I'm going to perform the miracle. Rely on me. I got that. But I'm asking you to be the participators to do what I've called you to do. And like I said, it's a great and interesting thing because we as participators, we have to understand that a lot of times when the first thing we have to look at is this, us participating, we have to be the ones to initiate. We see in verse 8 and 9 where Andrew showed a lot of faith because, you know, right before this, Jesus is asking Philip, you know, he's testing him. He's like, "What are we going to do?" Philip's like, "I have no idea." So Andrew, being a participator at this time, he speaks up and he points out and he finds a little boy. And you might as well say this little boy had a Happy Meal. He pretty much had some bread and some fish. So this was like the Happy Meal of the day. So he took Andrew's like, "Look, this little boy has a Happy Meal, bread and fish. So maybe we could do something with this." So in that moment, Andrew had no idea what he was saying. He was like, "Look, this is something. Maybe we can figure something out with this. Jesus, you're all great, so maybe you can know what to do with this." But I like Andrew in this moment because he initiated. He volunteered himself first. He did what he had to do. He saw the objective. He's like, "I'm going to figure out something to do." And I think for us, mainly as participators, being in the church, we have to be the ones to step up. Whether you're in church, whether you're hosting, you're at an event, no matter what it is, sometimes it's easy to be the ones, even at, like, for a perfect example, being at an event sometimes, we can go there with what we're supposed to do, and then after that, we'll sit back and we'll just chill. We won't do anything. Or, like, we can be at church and, like, you know, we think we'll just come in and we'll just sit there, sit down and chill. But sometimes, you know, we have to go out of our way to see where areas in the church that need serving in. You know, it's good to be in your area and doing what you have to do and serving in your area. But sometimes as a participator, you have to step out and do other things. And that's the biggest thing is that sometimes God calls us to be the ones to initiate. And I think that's the big idea is, you know, it's one thing to do, but don't watch others do. You have to be the one to do it. And I think that's what Andrew did in this one moment. You know, Andrew was like, "I'm going to be the one to do. I'm going to be a participator. I'm going to be the one that steps out in this one moment." And he did it. He like, look, and then, like I say, it wasn't a big thing. All he did was literally point out, "Look, there's a Happy Meal right here. We could do something about that." But it was still a big step, you know, because in that moment, Jesus was questioning Philip, but Andrew said and took initiative. And I give the example of our own church. I'm going to give the example of the men in our church. I think it's an amazing thing that our men took the initiative of, and if most of y'all don't know, but a lot of times our men go out in the community and serve people, help them with their homes and helping them repair or things like that. And I think it's a blessing that our men in our church took that initiative. They took the step and they stepped forward and they went and find a cause. They went and find areas that they can work in. And the same thing with our women in our church. I mean, our women are always stepping up. Our women are always doing the best they can to serve and you know, whatever areas when it comes to planning events. And it's, like I said, it's just a blessing being a part of a church that does that. But there's still areas that we as people, we have to find where else we can serve in. Because there's always going to be a time to serve. There's always going to be a point in time to where you have to do something and you have to initiate that. You know, so whether I said, whether it be a church event, whether it be a, you know, church service, there's always something you can do. And I think that leads into the next point of understanding that as participators, we are the hands and feet of ministry. The hands and feet of ministry. So what does that mean by that? You know, God calls us to be servants. And I think that's the biggest thing for us to understand is that being the hands and feet of ministry, you know, God calls us to serve. He calls us to do what we have to do for other people. You know, and I love this because when being the hands and feet of ministry, it's good to know the fact that Jesus is the one that has control over everything. Sometimes when it comes to being in church, we feel like we hold a lot of responsibility as participators. We feel like we hold a lot of responsibility when it comes to serving. Like we have to be the ones to put everything together. We have to be the ones to figure out. And yeah, we do. We need a plan. You always need a plan. You always need something to execute. But the thing is, sometimes when, especially in church, and I'm sure we can all agree, sometimes when we plan stuff or we do stuff, there's always that one thing, one person, I'm not calling nobody out, but there's always something that goes wrong. There's no way that we ever plan a church service or event where everything is just perfectly aligned, everything just goes great and nothing ever messes up. And I think that's where we have to realize that we are the hands and feet of ministry. That means our ministry is involved in Christ. So anything that is planned, anything that is made, anything we do, we have to know that Jesus is the one that's given us strength to do it. Jesus is the one that's guiding us in the same way that he had the disciples serve these 5,000 people. All they had to rely on was Jesus, because once again, they had no idea what they were doing. They were like, we got 5,000 people in here. How are we going to feed them with a Happy Meal? What are we going to do? But I think that's the plan. That's the part of what Jesus' plan for us is just to look, execute, do what you have to do and serve. You know, and I think that's the whole big idea behind this one is, you know, God called believers to be servants. And, you know, like I said, sometimes that doesn't mean that the plan is always going to be what we expect it to be. And I'll say this, and I have this little quote that I have. I watch a whole bunch of TV shows, and one of my favorite TV shows is The Flash. It's a superhero show about this superhero that's really fast, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the characters in the show has this quote, and it's funny because when I heard this quote, it stuck to me, and I was like, man, this really applies to ministry in a lot of ways. And I want to say this quote to y'all, and I want to just kind of stick with y'all. And this is the quote he says. Make the plan, execute the plan, expect it to go wrong. And I think that's so funny because it's so true. We can easily, anytime in ministry we do anything, it's good to have a plan. Make sure you execute that plan. And always think, what if that goes wrong? What are we going to do? There should always be an emergency. There always should be like, okay, if someone doesn't show up, this is what we're going to do. Or if someone, like, you know, like I said, isn't where they need to be, or like, I mean, think about it. There's plenty of times to where we've been in service and like, say, like, something goes wrong with the media booth. Something goes wrong with the lights. But the thing is, in those moments, I'm not calling y'all out. That's not y'all fault. That's not y'all fault. I mean, most of the time it's weather or something like that, but regardless, it's the fact that we still have to keep it going, right? We're still here to worship God. We're still here to serve Jesus. And regardless, no matter what happens or what goes on in the service, we have to understand we're still the hands and feet of ministry, so we have to keep moving on. That's the beautiful part about it, is that no matter what goes wrong in the service, we know what we're here to do. We know we're here to serve Christ. We know we're here to love Jesus. We know we're here to love people. And that's the biggest thing. We have to keep going with the plan. We have to keep moving forward. And Jesus is the one that, like I said, he has that all figured out. And we just have to keep executing it. So, like I said, as believers, we have to be servants. And the big question is, not only do we have to be servants, but how do we serve? How do we serve people? And what I mean by that, like, what is our attitude? And how do we go about serving? Do we have joy when we serve people? And that leads into the next point, is participators put others first. You know, we see in verses 12 and 13, you know, the disciples, they had to serve everybody before they could even eat. You know, like, and you imagine how long it took for them, only 12 people going around serving a group of 5,000, how long it took. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure they were hungry as well. You know, this was supposed to be a festival, a Passover festival, so I'm pretty sure they were pretty hungry. They were like, man, we're going to eat. We got to serve all these people first. But they did what they have to do, and they put the others first. They served all those people. They went around, separated them in groups, did what they had to do, and they served all these people. And they, like I said, they thought of themselves last. Because after all sale was done, they had exactly 12 baskets left. Hopefully they ate the last remaining 12, because, I mean, it's funny because they had 12 baskets left, 12 disciples. So hopefully they ate what they had to do. But in this moment, they put themselves first beyond all that. And I'm pretty sure we've all been to a wedding, family reunion, something of that nature, to where you were the participator in that moment, and you had to be the one serving. And most of the time, when you're a participator, let's be honest, you're probably eating last, because you're serving other people. You're serving them food. You're the one, you know, participating in the event. So you're obviously going to be the one to serve them last. And I think that falls so true in ministry, because ministry is about people. It's you coming to understand that anytime you serve anybody, it's not about you. It's about people. And it's funny because I was having this conversation with Josh about weddings and stuff like that, because that's what men talk about. But no, it was a serious conversation. All right, it was a seriously manly conversation about weddings and stuff. And I was like, man, I can't wait till my one day when I get married. That way I can have some good food and stuff like that. And Josh was like, bro, don't even think about eating at your wedding. You're not even gonna have time to eat. He said people are gonna be asking you to take pictures, to dance, to do talk to everybody, and so and so cousin gonna come over and they wanna congratulate you, and it just never ends. He said, you might as well take a to-go plate, because you ain't never gonna have time to eat. So I was like, all right, well, totally screwed up my idea. Well, I was like, man, I'm gonna grub down, have my family cooking. But he was like, don't even think about that. And don't y'all get no fun ideas. I'm not getting married yet, so calm down. All right, so when it comes to, you know, y'all got me all so off topic. So when it comes to being participated and putting others first, you know, it's really about the attitude of how you do it. You know, I was watching this YouTube video, and, like, it was this comedic guy, and he was going around different restaurants and stuff, and, like, he was, like, just seeing how people, like, when he goes and how people serve other people and just things like that. And he went up to, like, a person at McDonald's or something like that, and the person was just grumpy and upset, and then, like, he pretty much replies to them, you know, like, what happened to service with a smile, you know? So, and I think it's so true, because sometimes when it comes to participating or being a participator, we forget, man, we got to have the joy of Christ. And I think putting other people first, we have to constantly have that joy of Christ in everything we do. No matter what you participate in, no matter what God has called you to do in the church or an event or whatever, always have, you want to be that person that has that service with a smile. I'm not saying you have to fake it till you make it. You know, we still want to be real in ministry, but still, when it comes to participating, we have to understand that you can't go there with a bad attitude. You can't go up there upset. You can't be the one that's always have a problem with something. You have to be the one to show that love of Christ, because when you're the one being joyful, when you're the one showing that you enjoy being there and serving other people, it reflects, you know, reflects that love of Christ, and it shows that we're actually standing for Christ. You know, so anytime you're a participator, you got to be the one to show that love of Christ, because at the end of the day, it shows that, hey, you care about other people and you're not just there about yourself. And I'll hit that, and I'll say that leading into the last point when it says, participators lead others to Christ. And I think that's so true because of the simple fact that, I mean, that's what we're called to do, right? As participators, when God has called us to do something in the church, it's easy to think that my role is not good enough. It's easy to think that what I'm doing, it's not good enough for God. And we see this all the time. You know, we see this, like, I hear people and I talk to different people and they think, man, you know, I wish I was doing more, or I wish I was doing as much as this person, or I wish I was going on mission trips as this person. I wish I was able to, you know, speak like this person, or all these other things. But we have to understand that it doesn't matter what God has called you to. What you're doing is so amazing for the kingdom of God. God could care less whether you're the one picking up trash in the service or you're the one up here preaching. He doesn't find that any greater than anything else, because the fact that you're doing what God has called you to do and serving the area that he's called you to. And that's what's so amazing about serving God and being a participator, is that your role is just as important as the person next to you. Sometimes it may not look like it. We may not think like that. And sometimes it may not seem like it because we don't get as much appreciation from people, or we don't get as much like, you know, oh, you did great or good job, you know. But the thing is, our Father in heaven is congratulating you in ways you can't even imagine. And I think that falls so true in it being a participator is the fact that, I mean, that goes into the big idea. Our goal as church is to share the Christ, share Christ in our community. You know, when it comes to sharing Christ in our community and loving people and doing what God has called us to do and being a participator, your role, it plays a huge part. I remember a while back, I went to CEC, which was a college evangelistic conference, or collegiate evangelistic conference. And one of the guys that was speaking, he was saying, it was pretty much on volunteering and participating in church and things like that. And he was talking about how, like, literally he used to serve in a youth group, and his only goal was to be a janitor. That was all he did. After every youth service, he would be the one to pick up the trash after that, and it'd be him and his youth pastor, and they'd be cleaning up. And, like, literally that's all he did was just pick up trash in the service. And he would do that, I mean, after every youth service. He stayed late after everybody. He did what he had to do. And, you know, like he said, it's funny because I never considered myself to be the one to speak in front of people and all these other things. And he went from being the person picking up trash at the end of service to the one leading groups. And next thing you know, he was up there speaking. And before you know it, he was serving in ministry full time. And he was speaking to us at this collegiate, conference and all this other stuff. And he said, honestly, my most humbling time for living for Christ was when I was the one picking up trash at the end of service. When I was the participator and I was serving in that time, when no one else noticed, when nobody else could acknowledge what I was doing, when nobody else was telling me thank you for what I'm doing. But he said in that moment, I had so much peace and time with God because I knew what I was doing was for him. And he said it may not seem like much. I was picking up trash. I was picking up candy from kids and youth stuff and things like that that people probably wouldn't even stand to do. But he said that was my most humbling time in ministry because I didn't need anything else because I knew I was doing it for him. And I think that's how our attitude should always be. Anything we do for Christ is a huge thing. I don't care how small it may seem that you're doing this. It may seem totally meaningless to other people, but for Christ it's so big. And I don't want us to miss that at all. As participators, God has called us to share Christ in our community. And the way we do that is by being participators in every area that we can, in every area that God has called us to. So I want us to reach out with that today, and I want us to leave with that thought. And I want us to understand, no matter what you're doing now, always seek out ways that you can further yourself to do more. Always figure out ways. Be like Andrew in the way that he was the one that initiated. He was the one that said, look, I'm going to figure out something to do. He's like, and he found that happy meal, and he offered it to Jesus, and he was the one to initiate. So for us, we should always be seeking opportunities to serve in church because, like I said, your role is just as big as anybody else. So I want to go ahead and close up with just that idea of just being a participator and just being what God has called us to. And like I said, if there's an area that you want to serve in or that you feel like God's called you to or you feel like God wants to use you in, don't be afraid to talk to me. Don't be afraid to talk to Josh or Chip when he's here or anybody, and we can help you and direct you in that. But the biggest thing is just members of this church, we have to continue to do that. We have to continue to be participants. We have to be continuing to engage in what God has called us to. And I know we'll do that, and I know we'll continue to move forward in that. So as I close up, I just want to pray for us. And like I said, if there's anybody that will want to volunteer, don't be afraid to talk to any of us. So as I close in prayer today, I want us to just pray about that. Pray about areas that you know you can further yourself in. Pray about areas that you probably could serve in. Pray about things more that you can do, even ideas that you may have. You know, pray about all those things and let God use you in that. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us and just have that moment as I pray and just seeking that and what God has called us to. So Father God, I just come to you this morning, Lord, and just thank you for just being all that you are. Jesus, I thank you for not only showing us what it means to be a participator, Father, but you showed the greatest of it all, Father, because you came not to be served, but you served us in the way that you died on the cross for us. So, Father, I pray that as we see the example of what it means to be a participator, that, God, we seek in that and we listen in that and we understand that, Father, what we do is not important, or how small it may seem, or to other people it may not be as important, but Jesus, for you, it's way beyond words. So Jesus, we thank that you care for us and you love us, and that no matter what you've called us to do, that it's important in your eyes. So I pray that we can further ourselves when it comes to sharing in the community. I pray that we can further ourselves when it being to be better participators in your name. And make it not about us, God, but let it be about other people. And Father, let it be all about you. So Jesus, we just ask all these things in your mighty holy name we pray. Amen.